Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, my favorite hour of the week. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, bringing you the inside track on nutrition and assorted health topics. Good morning to all my stations. Yeah, as the man says, God that does the healing. I talked about this last week, this rift that occurred somewhere in the Middle Ages and beyond between science and God, where God got the domain of church on Sunday and esoteric conversations, and science got the domain of why your fingers hurt. In other words, anything having to do with health, and this is one of the deals that was made in the days of Descartes and the Vatican, one of the deals that was made is any conversation about the human body was given to the realm of science. And science meant if you couldn't measure it, if you couldn't reproduce it, if you couldn't completely understand it, even if you observed it, even if you experienced it, even if you saw it, it didn't matter. Now, that's a deep statement I want you to wrap your heads around today. Whoever you are, whatever you suffer from, whatever your pursuit in health actually constitutes, I want you to wrap your head around the fact that one of the big problems with simple little problems like arthritis, and that's what today's show is about, simple little problems like arthritis become major health calamities because we took the God out of science. Now, what does that really mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that sometimes a therapy doesn't fit the double-blind placebo study. I'll give you an example of how these aborted scientific experiments trip up our belief in herbal medicine and herbal anti-inflammatory medicine all the time. Let me give you an example. So today's show, arthritis, what to do about it and how to prevent it. Look at those fingers, listen to those knees, twist your neck to the side while you're backing out of the driveway, and that tinge in your neck happening all too often, starting to signify in the fifth decade of your life that you may have something going on. Off to the rheumatologist you go, off to the medical doctor you go, perhaps off to the chiropractor you know, and they x-ray your neck, or just jump to the conclusion based on symptomology that you must have arthritis. This scares you because most of you know one example of arthritis is those knobby fingers that people get, those disfiguring, ugly malformations in the joint that's just about deposits of all sorts of precipitate crystals. And that can be going on in your knees, your ankles, your elbows, your shoulders, your neck, your low back, anywhere you can deposit this crud. All of which gets lumped into the word arthritis, which means you're getting old. You can't lift your grandkids anymore. You can't run around the block. And you can't lose weight because you can't move. So arthritis is a big one. And what we do too often is use science to destroy the notion. It's false science, but nonetheless, science to destroy the notion that arthritis can be dealt with effectively and through natural means rather than anti-inflammatory drugs, whether they be steroidal or non-steroidal. Example, let's take a simple herb, turmeric, that nice orange powdery herb that comes in a root. It's a root, and you can ferment it, or you can just grind it up, put it in a capsule, or like lots of people in the world do, you can grind it up and eat with it. You can cook it with your soup. Now, we know that turmeric has many compounds in it, one of them being curcumin, or curcumin as some say, and that's a strong anti-inflammatory, great for the joints. Now, what, and this is my point, science, what we know as classic university-based science does, is it takes something like this herb, and it gives it to 10 different or 20 different or 30 different people with osteoarthritis, knobby, painful fingers, knees, or whatever. And then it compares it to what 10 people who have no arthritis actually experience when they get the same herb. And then they look to see the changes over time in the people that have the so-called arthritis and how it improves them. And when they don't see or do see credible, discernible, palpable changes in function, reductions in pain, so on and so forth, then they back up the herb or they deny the herb. And then they try to reproduce this consistently across many different populations. And when the herb appears to work like a drug, meaning you do it, you take it, you get what the herb says you're supposed to get, and there's no two ways about it, then they declare it potent or impotent. Now, here's the reason that this doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work, and I'm going to lay this out for your common sense. So this is the Dr. Vincent Medici Common Sense Show, because my claim, my dying claim, will be really what's missing in science is common sense. And you, the public, have more common sense than most of these stupid studies that are supposedly modeled as, well, our indice for reality, right? If a study backs it, then it's true. Of course, anyone that does these studies knows that that is the biggest load of nonsense ever perpetrated on the human race. What comes out of these studies is usually slanted garbage from self-interest groups no less bought than our politicians. And that, my friends, is the truth. Even if they're objective studies, studies can be designed in a very stupid way. Let me give you an example of why these studies that destroy the notion that, well, if you went to your medical doctor, Kaiser, and said, look, I'm not going to do the injection, or I'm not going to do the prednisone, or I'm not going to do the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, I'm simply going to take turmeric. The reason your doctor would knock that notion, would criticize you, would look down upon you, and say, none of these have been scientifically validated. And let me explain why their studies are stupid. If you take 10 people with arthritis and give them turmeric, and then expect to measure the results, the benefits or the non-benefits, if one of those people with the arthritis has arthritis because they suffer from chronic repetitive strain on a computer, like they're working 75 hours a week, there isn't anything in the herbal kingdom that's going to help that. The turmeric is going to far exceed the stress from the workplace is going to far exceed anything that any herb can do. If another person has arthritis because of internalized emotion, meaning they clench in the jaw and that clench goes right down the arm and into the fingers, there isn't any herb that's going to fix that. There's two things. Here's number three. Suppose one person with the arthritis has a parasitic infection. Here's number four. Suppose one person with arthritis is dipping their hands, because of the job they do, into caustic chemicals all day long that inflame the joints. When you're selecting people to determine whether or not an herb is going to help in inflammatory condition, you have to qualify the source in each person, because if the cause is so obliterating to the effect of the herb, then you're not going to get a good outcome. Which is not to say the herb isn't effective. It's to say the herb at the dose given, or the herbs that should be utilized to fix the problem, aren't going to ever be ascribed or trusted to the effect of the turmeric. If you have an arthritis in the finger because you can't drain the hand because you have a parasite, you need an antiparasitic. Now, the antiparasitic would be effective to go after the inflammatory condition. If you're being exposed to chemicals, then the herbs you use or the clays you use would be in the interest of drawing the chemicals out of the hands. In this way, herbs could be enormously effective And if you created a study, if you created a study to utilize the effect of an herb after you correctly diagnosed the cause of the arthritis, then you would see the power of the herb. So if an herb, if a arthritis was infectious and you used an anti-infective herb, if you used an antiparasitic herb that would otherwise inflaming the joint, well, then you'd see the power of the herb. If you used an herb that hit the emotional fabric of the individual, that relaxed them, say like Sisyphus, or any of the herbs that elate the spirits, and you created a freedom within the individual to release the emotional tension, well, then your fingers wouldn't hurt as much. What you can't do when you design a study with an herb, say for something like arthritis, is put a bunch of people together and set the study up to give the herb to the group when what you're calling the arthritis can come from 10 different places, many of which wouldn't be beneficial if the person ingested the herb. And this is the mistake they make when they design these studies all the time. So we're going to talk about arthritis today, what to do about it and how to prevent it. We're going to talk about herbs that you can utilize to prevent the arthritis or to actually resolve the health condition. But what you're not going to do is make the mistake that people do. You're not going to blanket the solution. This will become clear as we go on. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. And to understand arthritis, the first thing you've got to understand is the word precipitation. Precipitation. Go to picture number one on the site, and I put a test tube there. Now, there's a test tube, picture number one on the site. There's a test tube with crystals in it. It's a big concept here. Precipitation. When you think arthritis in all its forms, you think that out of liquid environments, you're creating crystals. Now, that's picture one. Look at picture number two. There's another example of precipitation. Look at those rolls of white stuff in the test tube. You have to understand that what you call your arthritis are different type of precipitates that are depositing in different parts of your body. Because we're talking arthritis, we'll talk about joints. But we could be talking about coronary plaque, plaque in the arteries of the heart. We could be talking about plaques up in the brain. They're all a product of liquids precipitating crystals. So as always, we've got to get conceptual here because, of course, our job's going to be to bind up those precipitates, stop the conditions in which these precipitates or crystals are actually being formed, you see? To go after arthritis after it's formed is one thing. To stop it before it's formed, well, that's the smart man's approach. Both are necessary often because right now you may have the symptomology. You may have the pain. You may have the lingering concern. So there's picture one, picture two. Look at picture three. Take the time. There, you see that picture number three, that blue backdrop? You see that little pipette there, that dropper? They're going to drop that clear drop into that pool on the bottom of the test tube. And once that drop drops in, it's going to turn white. So they're mixing solutions. And once you mix enough, I want you to catch this. Once you mix enough of what's being dropped out of that dropper into that pool of water there at the bottom of the test tube, once the concentration of what's coming out of that little dropper exceeds a certain level, you're forcing out or precipitating that white stuff. So I want us to take a minute on this picture. This picture really says it. Every time you teach concepts, you get better at it. And pictures say a thousand things. And this, I think, is the real issue here. So I want you to get this. So everybody, first, if you're new to the show, make sure you get to the website if you can. That's straighttalkwith2t's.cc. Of course, if you're driving, which many of you are, well, just listen hard. We're looking at a test tube. In the test tube, there's a white liquid. In the test tube, there's a dropper dropping clear, looks like water, but it's not. Clear drops into that test tube. Now, before you saw that white cloud, it looked less, just like water in there. It was drops of a clear, colorless liquid dropping into a clear, colorless pool of liquid. But what's happening is the concentration of whatever that's coming out of that dropper, it gets to a certain point, and there's an overflow. There's a spillage. There's a precipitation. And that's what's going on in your joints. The same thing. And I'm going to refer back to this as we evolve the show today, and you're going to see how important this picture is. Let's keep going. There's picture four. There's a yellow precipitate. That yellow precipitate could be a different type of arthritis. Osteoarthritis gives you one type of precipitate. Gout gives you another type of precipitate. Calcium oxalate crystals in the joints gives you another type of precipitate. All right, go to picture five. Calcium pyrophosphate dihydride hydroxyapatite and miscellaneous crystals. This is just a little article from a rheumatology journal talking about the process through which these crystals precipitate out of clear, colorless fluid into these crystals that jam up the joints that start to build up on your fingers. If you go down to picture number, let's do picture 11. Look at that. How many of you in the audience today have fingers like that or one finger like that? Sure you do. When that stuff is locking up your neck, go to, say, picture number. Go to picture number 14. Picture 14. When those crystals are locking up your neck, maybe compressing nerves, then they tell you you've got osteoarthritis of the spine. And of course, if it presses into a nerve, worse yet. On picture 14, do you see that, what they call the bone spur? Look at picture 14. Look at what they call the bone spur. If that bone spur becomes a little bigger, a little sharper, they call it an osteophyte. An osteophyte. If that little piece chips off, they might call it joint mice. If the cartilage in the knee chips off, they'll call it joint mice. Any of these free-floating pieces of cartilage, or even little chips of bone, or crystals that precipitate, the whole amalgam of these things determines the health or the lack of health in the joint. And collectively, we call that arthritis. Of course, there's many aspects to that, as I'm just describing here. Suppose your arthritis is a precipitation arthritis. Suppose your arthritis is simply because you've grown parts of your bone that are pressing into a nerve. Suppose your arthritis is because the cartilage between the joints is worn down. These are different types of specific inquiries. They're specific issues that have specific solutions, none of which should be ever clumped into the word arthritis. And here, you got to get this. The reason that such mistakes are made in rheumatology and orthopedics is because we do have a rescue drug. It's called cortisone. And cortisone can save the day. Anti-inflammatory drugs save the day short term. But what happens is you get sold, okay, the bill of goods, and you use these things chronically to decrease your joint pain. You're addicted to aspirins, you're addicted to Tylenol, you're addicted to anti-inflammatory drugs. So we clump these causes together because we're going to do the same thing anyway, no matter what you got. And that's a big boo-boo because each of them has different approaches. Okay, interesting, huh? Everybody's got joint stuff. nobody, few people are spared. But the knowledge, you see, it's the knowledge that spares you in the long run. So, principle one, when they talk about the herbs and how the herbs affect arthritis, and no one's got faith in the studies, it's because they don't design the studies correctly. They don't design the studies correctly because, well, the science of it is set to be distinct from the God in it. Now, I realize that you have to grow and attach to what I'm saying. But what it means functionally is we take the common sense out of the study. And the common sense says that if you give somebody an herb that's got an arthritis that's emotionally derived, something you can't even say, the herb will never work. The drug may work, but the herb won't work. Herbs have to be used with a far greater specificity than drugs do. If you're inflaming the joint because of the emotions, that's different than inflaming the joint because of an infection. That's different than inflaming a joint because you have biomechanical issues, you have pound. That's different than inflaming the joint because of radiation to the hand from putting it on a computer all day. Those are four different causes for the same inflammatory condition. And if you use the herbs specific to each of those causes, well, then you design a study to show the power of the herb. The scientists don't get this. You can't even say that emotions cause arthritic pain. You can't even argue that someone clenching their jaw all night is also sending a reflex down the arm into the fingers that'll inflame the whole arm. Can't even say that. And this is my point. That's issue one. Issue two, precipitation. Arthritis begins with precipitation, and there are chemical air variables, chemical issues controlling the precipitation, and we're getting into them. Okay. All right. Good. Very good. So crystals. What crystals are we talking about? Let's talk about the crystals. Look at picture number eight. Calcium, hydroxyapatite, crystals. That's a precipitate. Those knobs in your fingers, those nodules on the bone in your neck, that's calcium hydroxyapatite. One form of a crystal. Look at picture seven. Picture seven, that's a shoulder. It's an x-ray of a shoulder, obviously. Do you see up there on the top of that round shoulder there, the top of what bone? That's the humerus. That round sort of like light bulb there. That's the head of the humerus. And do you see just hanging off it? In, say, if you're looking at the head of the humerus, say the 11 o'clock, 10:30 position, you see that little wisp of white, that little white cloud separated there? That's a precipitate. That's a precipitate of calcium hydroxyapatite. That is a crystalline formation of what once was just liquid, that has now become a spur, an arthritic spur. And when that individual moves their arm, that spur is going to rub into connective tissue and create pain. All right. I'm feeling you. You're getting it. Question, of course, what chemical conditions, what biomechanical conditions, what emotional conditions, what traumatic conditions may have, in fact, caused that precipitation? What issues are causing that precipitation all the time? That's really the real causes. Funny how science doesn't go there, right? Doesn't go there. Just wants to knock out the symptom, which in an acute situation is okay. As a short-term emergency-based situation, a good shot of cortisone into an aching, painful joint. Well, maybe that means you pitch the ninth inning and you win the World Series. And you've been waiting for that your whole life. Your whole life as an athlete. Maybe that means you go to your granddaughter's baptism. Maybe that means you go on vacation to Europe and you've been saving for it for 20 years. So who's knocking science? Who's knocking Western pharmaceutical drugs? Not me. Not this show. But I'm saying you got to reach deeper to understand the appropriate and inappropriate use of them. And when you're left with nothing but drugs because you're not going deep enough, well, that's where science should expand itself and deepen its own quest instead of burying its head in the sand and saying, oh, these concepts are non-scientific because we don't have a double placebo-blind study to endorse them. That is stupidity. And you deal with that stupidity all the time. You're told consistently that aspects of holistic medicine are nonsense because there are no studies. There are no studies because you have to have money to do a study, and no one is going to give you money for a study. Otherwise, we could design studies. Okay, let's keep going. Excellent. I know you're getting it. Calcium hydroxyapatite. This is one type of a crystal. More crystals. Let's talk about more crystals. Let's talk about picture number 20. No, is a better one. Picture number 21. Look at picture 21. Those are uric acid crystals derived from urate to uric acid. Now, where do you find uric acid crystals? Everywhere. Go to picture 22. Monosodium urate formation, crystal formation from hyperuricemia. High levels of urate in the extracellular fluids. This is exciting, isn't it? You're watching you in the making. You're watching what happens to all people. You don't have arthritis, but you have urate in the fluids in between your cells. Everywhere you have urate. Urate is a natural product of metabolism. Everybody makes it. But if the levels get too high, now, if you can't move it out faster than it's made, so I want you to catch this. We're talking about uric acid crystals. Uric acid crystals that increase in concentration start to eat the joint. They create pain in the joint. We call that gout. Long before you get gout, you get gouty, meaning you don't have to have big, swollen, deformed golf balls on your joints to have gout. You simply have to have the buildup of urate to the point where you're at a low level precipitating uric acid. At a level so low, you'll never see a deformation of a joint. You'll only feel bad. You'll only feel pain. You'll only feel like something's wrong. Like if you work out, you can't, but if you don't, you're fine. You got to catch that. Catch what? We're all precipitating. We are all precipitating at all times. When you say, I'm arthritis free, I don't have any problem, that day you go to the track and you're a little tight or a little painful. Or that joint that had the problem that took 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks to shake out, that you couldn't just understand. Yeah, you were precipitating, only you're precipitating less. And that's the point. And just because your precipitates aren't building up in the joint. So I want to complicate things because that's reality. Once you precipitate, the precipitate will lodge where the biomechanical trauma is. So if you're precipitating calcium hydroxyapatite and you're using those fingers, it'll go to the fingers. If you're a martial artist kicking all day long, it'll go to the hip. The joint that you inflame for emotional or biomechanical reasons, or the joint that you inflamed because you had an accident to that joint, is the joint where the precipitate will stick. Whoa. A fat man is going to get gout in the toe because fat people can't move their feet. A skinny man that's flexible may have generalized gout all over the body and not feel so good until he sweats it out with 2 hours of yoga a day and never see an issue in the toe. So it's not who's making the crystals. It's we're all making the crystals because we all have the substrate. We all have urate. We all have hydroxyapatite. We all have calcium. We all have phosphate. So we all have it. It's a matter of who's precipitating what and how much. That rocks. See, there's no show that's really trying to do this. And you can all do your internet searches to learn the same thing, but you can't. You can't because what you have to do is compile knowledge. Then you have to check it to your clinical experience. Then you have to throw it up on the wall and see what sticks. Then you have to do it for years. And then you have to tell people what the essential issues are when you're discussing a health concern. And that's what the show is doing, especially those of you who are new to the show. That's what the show is trying to do. It's not the Cliff Notes. It's that teacher that paid his dues that can put essential principles together to give them to you to appeal to your common sense and not talk over your head, nor push forth superficial solutions that only stop at first base. You can look up the top 20 herbs to fix gout or the top 20 herbs to help your arthritis. But that's a far cry from what I'm talking about here. And if you apply what I'm talking about, this is where you get really solutions. And that's my point about holistic medicine. Holistic medicine is wonderful if you understand how to navigate with it. If you understand how to think your way through it. Sail your ship to the other side. That's what holistic medicine is. What it's not is an internet search to find out what Vanity Fair says some herb is to help your arthritics. All right, let's keep going. Okay, uric acid crystals. Crystals forming calcium hydroxyapatite. Then there's calcium oxalate crystals. Let's go take a look at calcium oxalate crystals. Let's look. Here's a great picture number 30. Picture 30. Take a look at picture 30. Picture 30 is calcium oxalate. That becomes kidney stones. But you don't have kidney stones, so it's not your concern. Wrong. Everybody's making calcium oxalate. Calcium oxalate's everywhere. The point is, does calcium oxalate start to clump together to make a little stone? We call that kidney stand. In a minute, you're going to look at picture 32. Picture 32 is calcium phosphate. Your kidney stones are calcium oxalate or calcium phosphate. Whether they're oxalate or phosphate, you're always making them. If you make too much of them, then picture 30 becomes picture 29. If there's too much calcium oxalate, you will start to create stones. If there's too much urate, you will start to make uric acid crystals. If there's too much hydroxyapatite and too much available calcium, you will start to make calcium hydroxyapatite, calcium pyrophosphate. If there's too much, it's going to look like, now let's go back to picture number 3. If there's too much in a joint space, if there's too much in the underside of a coronary artery, if there's too much up in your brain somewhere, you're going to start to make these precipitates. And there's different types of precipitates and different types of crystals. Okay, good. Good. Now, what are you going to do about it? Key concepts here. Key concepts. First of all, notice calcium pyrophosphate. Notice calcium hydroxyapatite. Notice urate to uric acid crystals. Notice calcium phosphate. Any of your crystals, any of your precipitates that are made of calcium, calcium whatever, can be compelled, can be persuaded, can be mollycoddled, can be diplomatized, can be negotiated into staying in a non-crystable form if you have enough citrate available. Citrate is a complex of atoms that we call a citrate molecule that is bound generally ionically. So a weak attraction between citrate in foods and potassium is what nature gives us as a tool to persuade calcium from sticking in a soluble form and not precipitating into a crystalline form. So take a look at picture 36. Picture 36. Foods high in potassium. Let's take potatoes. Okay. Let's take green beans. Let's take picture 35. All those vegetables. Let's take picture 34. Almond milk. Let's take picture 33. Potassium citrate. Here's the point. All of these things we're looking at. All of these things we're looking at deliver large amounts of potassium citrate. All these things we're looking at keep your intercellular fluid with the higher pH, that pH between the cells, not the blood, but between the cells. That pH that can go as low as the fives to as high as the sevens, as the pHs there are more in that 6.4, 6.6, 6.8 range. You create a condition that then will compel the calcium before it attaches to the hydroxyapatite, before it attaches to the phosphate, the pyrophosphate, you'll compel it to stay ionically bound in solution to the citrate. So you got to put the citrate there. You got to have the pH high enough. And then you significantly reduce precipitation. Now that is why everyone's running around, whether they know it or not, squeaking that you've got to stay alkaline. Because an alkaline pH in between the cells makes it way less likely to precipitate any of these nasty little crystals that get stuck between your joints and start building. So take that in. Now hold it to this statement. If you're punching a wall in all day long because you're a martial artist or a boxer, or you're typing at a keyboard all day in radiation, or you're using your fingers around electronic equipment and frying them in radiation, or anything that will traumatically injure a body part. You're a dancer and you're flipping your neck back 1,000 times an hour. You're doing the tango all day long in high heels and flipping your neck back in the most biomechanically unsound position known to man, high heels on the dance floor in very tight clothes so you look extra good. Lit with a little booze because you're having a good time and doing this 3 times a week. Whatever you're doing, gymnastics, running, where you're traumatizing the joint no matter how low you bring the calcium, no matter how much citrate is available, as you break down that joint, you're inviting a binding mechanism between the precipitate that is there versus there is no precipitate. So if the concentration of precipitate is very high, you'll naturally, if the concentration of precipitate in a non-soluble form is starting to increase, you're going to create it no matter what you do. But if you take a lot of citrate and you take care of your pH, but you abuse the joint, you're going to invite the sticking of what precipitate there is to the joint. So you got to consider now, you can approach the arthritis in your finger or your neck from the nutritional standpoint as much as you want. But if you're physically traumatizing that joint, whatever little bit of precipitation occurs, it's going to stick at a much higher rate. You got to take that in. Otherwise, you're going to simply think that the solution's nutritional. It's not. You have to consider the trauma to the joint. You may have to stop traumatizing the joint to get rid of the problem. And this is so important to understand about holistic medicine. You've got an issue with arthritis in your neck or your fingers. The first issue or the first step is to go to your medical doctor. When they don't give you an answer, you listen to radio shows selling herbs. And then you try the herb because it's a quick fix and better than a drug. And then when that doesn't work, you go to a chiropractor. Or when that doesn't work, you try something more aggressive nutritionally. Or if that doesn't work, you go to a massage therapist. And the problem is, and I'm explaining it, you've got to bring a specificity to how you evolved your arthritis. If that arthritis is emotional because you hate your life or you're burning up all night because you don't like your relationship, it's got to be addressed. If it's nutritional and you're eating three times a day at McDonald's or Jack in the Box, if you're boozing too much, if you're smoking too much, if you're on some sort of lethal combination of mind-altering drugs that acidify you, if you're at a computer all day long, these things have to be addressed. And if you're not, and you're just going out and buying an herb, you're not going to get there. So, as always, it's about education. Look at what we're doing with a simple little thing we call arthritis. We're building out on it. But I maintain if you listen, I maintain if you get excited about what you're made of, I maintain if you get the perspectives and you're set off in the right direction, you'll get to the bottom of your issue. And that's the beauty of knowledge, which is what this show tries to bring to you. Pat yourself on the back if it turns you on, because you're then one of a growing and yet definitely a minority of Americans who's willing to go a little deeper. Health, holistic health, is on the list with your nails and your gardener. That's really where it is. If you watch people, the time, money, and energy they're going to put into their body is about as important for most people as what they're going to put into their hair and their nails and their garden. And when really they have to dig deep and find the time, well, it's not on that list. If they have to find the money, it's not on that list either. There's rent, there's food, there's the kids, there's this, that, and the other thing, there's the car. But health, well, that's a different story. Health should be that thing the government pays for, and health should be that thing that's free, and health should be that thing that's 1, 2, 3, Shazam. And that's the way we sell it on the air. It doesn't work that way. And we got to come to terms with it. Hate to tell you, statistically, it's scary out there. Even in the last 10 years, it's gotten much worse. Look around. you look around and ask yourself if I'm exaggerating. And what I mean is there's more chronic illness than ever, and it's with younger and younger generations. We really are beginning to reap the bad reward of what we've done to the world and our soil and the rest of it, and you're seeing it now. And all it means is you got to reach a little deeper. It's not so much it costs you more money, but you have to find, you got to just put it in a more serious bracket. I do the show and I ask you to dig deeper. And some people do it and they get their return. That you even know there are different types of arthritis and you got to figure out what combination of factors define you, rather than clumping it under the name of a drug or clumping it under the name of take this herb. I heard it, Joe. I heard this herb is good for my hand pain. I'm going to take turmeric. I'm going to take cat's claw. I'm going to take white willow bark. Do you know how many times I myself, for finger pain, for arthritic problems, do you know how many times I've seen people try herbs and just come up with nothing? Nothing. When they might have put a clay on their hand, but just didn't realize that it was the 60 hours a week on a computer. Or stretching a forearm out. Or changing a diet to correct a pH. And so on and so forth. Okay, you get my point. So what are we going to do about your arthritic tendencies? Number one, we are going to make an attempt to change the intracellular pH. And that's, again, that first morning urine. And we're going to do it with what? We're going to do it with potassium citrate. That's the vegetable juices. I'll leave the rest to you. Sources of potassium citrate, from potato juice to celery juice, so on and so forth. Look them up. It ain't complicated. Now, here's what's complicated. Some people will not change the pH to potassium. Some people need calcium to change the pH. Now, that's a big one. We call those the fast and the slow oxidizers. So turn to picture number 37. You got to figure out if you're fast or a slow oxidizer. Fast oxidizers, generally, those skinny people that eat all day and don't gain weight. Look at picture 39. I want you to go to picture 39. There's a fast oxidizer versus a slow oxidizer. And there are hair tests that can tell, but generally your vatas and your pittas tend to be your fast oxidizers. And your kaphas, your thick people, tend to be your slow oxidizers. If you're pear-shaped, you're a slow oxidizer. If you're V-shaped, generally you're a faster oxidizer. If you're V-shaped and all bone, you're a very fast oxidizer. If you're V-shaped but very thickly muscled, you're kind of like a mid-range oxidizer, a mixed oxidizer then. Why is this important? Look at this graph. A fast oxidizer, you see how sodium and potassium are high? Fast oxidizers use calcium and magnesium fast. They eat it fast, but the sodium, potassium, they eat slow. They use it slow. They burn it slow. So if you throw a fast oxidizer a lot of potassium, it tends to make them sick. If you undersupply them the calcium, you tend to make them acidic. Now take a slow oxidizer. Look at how the graph is different there. The slow oxidizer uses calcium magnesium very slowly. You give a slow oxidizer calcium powders, it tends to mess them up. It does not change the pH. They're the ones that you've got to give more of that potassium to. Potassium lights the fire under the derriere of the slow oxidizer. Potassium stimulates the slow oxidizer. So if pH has to do with rates of precipitation and more alkaline pHs, whether you're a fast or a slow oxidizer, however you get to more alkaline pH will minimize precipitation. You have to understand you're going to approach that very differently depending on your dosha, depending on whether you're a fast or a slow oxidizer. Don't you just love that? This is why calcium powder works for some people and it doesn't do anything for other people. It's not a cure-all concept. So you need those green vegetable juices, but how you ratio out your calcium, magnesium versus sodium, potassium depends upon how fast you oxidize, and I gave you some clues there. Okay, now, the joint you traumatize is the joint that the precipitate is going to stick to. So if you're making, as we all are, a certain amount of uric acid, a certain amount of calcium hydroxyapatite, a certain amount of calcium phosphate, if you're making consistently a certain amount of all of these precipitates, no matter how good you are, at some point, they're going to look for a place to stick to. The dancer's going to get it in the neck. The computer junkie's going to get it in the fingers. Somebody else is going to get it in the coronary arteries. It all depends on where you, in a sense, traumatize yourself. That's an inquiry. We could do a whole show on that. But you got to keep that in mind. Where it goes is where there's physical trauma. Where it goes is where there's emotional trauma. Interesting. Let's get to biomechanics. Let's look at biomechanics. If you've got an arthritic neck, if you've got arthritic knees, if you've got arthritic ankles, elbows, shoulders. Now let's go to picture 44. Let's go to picture 44. Look at the person on the left, the figure of the person on the left. You're not looking at a person, obviously. And the picture on the right. If that's you on the right versus the left, you tell me, who's going to have more joint pain? The person on the left or the person on the right? If you've got any type of arthritic precipitate creating pain beginning to develop in your body, rest assured you're going to develop it a lot faster if you're the person on the left versus the person on the right. And if you're thinking in terms of dissolving these crystals, again, can you dissolve these crystals? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Yes, you can. All of them will dissolve. But I'll tell you something. The person on the left isn't going to dissolve anything. Until the person on the left becomes the person on the right, until the body finds its alignment, the body will buttress the misalignment by maintaining the osteophytes. The trauma to the joints that come from misalignment will sustain the bony osseous, the bony growths around the joints. Those growths are put there in a sense to stabilize the biomechanical imbalance. So do these precipitates dissolve? Yes, they do. Will herbs dissolve them? Yes, they will, to a point. That may not get you out of pain. Not completely. You may have to shift your alignment. And all the shows I've done on shifting alignment, that's another consideration. So, one, you have to know where your trauma is. Two, you have to think about shifting alignment and what that really entails. Three, you have to alkalize. You have to determine whether you're a potassium type or a calcium magnesium type. You have to consider that emotion will create a situation in a joint that will force its precipitation. Yes, emotion plays very much into arthritis for some people. Excellent. So if you're talking about alignment, well, you're talking about the psoas muscle. Certainly you are. And I put pictures of the psoas muscle. If you're new to the show, that muscle has to become competent before you look like the model there on picture 44. Now, I want you to consider another factor. Consider that all this precipitation, even if you slow down the rate that it precipitates, will still hit a concentration that will cause precipitation if you don't move it out fast enough, which means you must stretch the joint, show 243 and 244. You must sweat it out and dry brush it out, show 220. You must use herbs to bust up the fibrin, because in response to these irritating little precipitates, your body will secrete fibrin, and that will create glue around the joint, show 209. If you've broken body parts, show 237 teaches you how to get rid of the scars. Then we have our cleanses, the liver and the gallbladder flushes, the kidney cleanses, HCL therapy, show 133. You got to throw these things at your body. Otherwise, it's a labyrinth you'll never get yourself out of. If you need more help, you know the number, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. It's a pleasure every Saturday, my favorite hour of the week. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.